Welcome to the Raw Food Health Empowerment Podcast. I am here today with a special guest, Miss Sybil Shelton Ford. So excited to be connected with her. Sybil is a certified and registered yoga teacher who specializes in anxiety-reducing yoga classes for both adults and children. She's also a certified integrative health coach like myself and enjoys working with women age 45 and above who are navigating through the peri and postmenopausal phase. This is so important. I've had so many women approach me looking for support with this. Sybil's aim is to help her clients lose stubborn body fat, feel more energetic, and achieve better sleep. And I met Sybil because Sybil joined my 21-day New Year meal prep challenge. So we're going to be talking about that. Sybil, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you for having me. This is exciting.
Yes. And I know you're a fellow podcaster as well. So I'm looking forward to talking about that too. But tell us a little bit more about your work and what led you into signing up for the 21-day New Year meal prep challenge.
Well, it's funny. I've been vegan since 2016, but it was all cooked except for, you know, the salads and, you know, the fruits that you have just like randomly in your diet. I was really starch based. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like the last 2 or 3 years I've been called like this really, I can't even tell you where it came from. This like tap on the shoulder, like you really want to try raw. You really want to do this raw thing. And I'm like, oh, I'm scared to do it. I'm going to be hungry. What's going to happen to me? And then last July, Jeanette D'Onofrio, also known as Miss Fit Vegan, gave a free, I think it was a 31-day raw vegan challenge in her, like on her Instagram. And I thought, okay, this is the time. And it was summertime. It's when all everything, you know, all the fruits, I live in Michigan. So all the fruits were perfect. And I'm like, okay, this is the perfect time because there's tons of stuff to eat. And I stayed really true to it. I'm like, I'm going to stay raw vegan. And I will tell you, because I kind of went from cooked into raw. And it's not the first time I've done raw for like 10 days when I was last year, I was, in Costa Rica with Karen Ranzi. She has every year, she has a raw food retreat. In fact, it's going on right now. Mm-hmm. And so I was raw for that. 10 days was cool. Like, yep, I can do that. There was plenty of food. I did have some symptoms, but I felt really relaxed and the sun was really healing. It was during their summer.
Can you pause there for a second? You said you had some symptoms. So when you, so you went from, what were you eating before you went on this retreat?
So pretty much I followed like the starch solution. I was a starch solution follower from the time I went vegan in 2016 because it helped me feel satiated because, you know, the starches do that. Yeah. And I felt great. But then things started changing and I didn't feel as great. Weight was coming on a little bit more easily than normal. And just having like different symptoms, really, they were from menopause, perimenopause. And I just kind of had this, I can't even explain it. It was like a pull. I don't know if it was from heaven or whatever. Like, you want to check this out. Mm-hmm. So I did the raw.
So you go there, and you're eating 100% raw in the retreat, right?
Yes, it is 100% raw.
And is it raw gourmet or very simple raw? Is it dehydrated or more living foods? Like, what kind of raw?
So that's a great question. We, for the most part, most of the day, we had a plethora of raw local fruit, so tropical fruit. We have mamey sapotes and probably 9 different types of banana varieties and just stuff I'd never had, star apples and things I'd never had before. So we had a lot of that, but we also had this mix of more living food. So like for lunch and sometimes and oftentimes for dinner, we had things like wraps and these really cool different ferments that I've never had before, like ferment with things like coconut that almost tastes like cheddar cheese. It was pretty bizarre. So a little bit of both. During the day when we were hiking and things, it was mostly we would grab pineapples, bananas, things like that, that just we could just grab and go, because fruit is so great, you can just grab and go with it. Mm-hmm. But later on in the day, it was more wraps, and we had always had a big salad bar, but there was always something special, like a wrap or something dehydrated, little burgers, things like that. So it was a combination of both.
I see. So, okay, yeah. So you're eating this food, and then what kind of symptoms are you experiencing?
So I didn't have any, a little bit. I would say the biggest one would be just a little gassy sometimes. Okay. But it wasn't terrible, because I also, what helped with that was I stayed really well hydrated, because we had, I mean, just pitchers and pitchers of fresh coconut water. So that was really, really helpful. Just
yeah, to stay hydrated. I wanted to hone in on this because, you know, some people talk about this, like they're fearful because of the detox response. I personally don't feel like I had that, but if it was noticeable for you that you remembered it, you know, I just kind of wanted to add some color and detail to that. Just to recap, you went from the starch solution, which I'm assuming is just heavy starch, all vegan food, and to raw foods, high, like water-rich raw foods. It did have a little bit of gourmet, but it was water-rich. And I'm assuming if you went, if you increase in instances of gas, excess gas, the bacteria that was thriving on the starch is probably now starving off at this point, because the retreat was how long?
It was, I want to say it was 9 days.
About
9 days, yeah. 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 I did feel a little bit, it was really a little bit more, like I said, gassy, I could feel my body trying to get used to it, but it wasn't terrible. Mm-hmm. And then when I got back, I added more starch in, so I felt better.
Oh, you felt better?
After I added the starch back in when I was done with the retreat.
Yeah.
But I felt better gut-wise, but not better in other areas, which was really strange. So one of the things that I will tell you, when I was raw for those 9 days, mm-hmm. because I was still having a lot of hot flashes, night sweats, that kind of thing, even though I was eating clean and trying to live my life the best way I knew how, I didn't have any, which was really weird. I'm going to say probably by day 3, I didn't remember having them. And I remember thinking to myself, something's weird, like hot flashes and night sweats. I didn't have them. They'd gone away, pretty much. I think I may have had, like, it was also really hot there. Just, gets to be like over 100 degrees in the summertime, yeah. Which is now, but it wasn't the same. It was different. It was coming from the outside instead of the inside. Mm-hmm. And I slept better, like through the night. So that was one of the things that I thought, whoa, maybe I really am supposed to do this. But then when I came home, I stayed about 50% raw, but still was eating, because I had in my cupboard, you know, rice and beans and things like that. Mm-hmm. But then the menopause symptoms came back. Like, they just kind of like, okay, remember me, I'm still here. Yeah. And just like overall energy and things like that started to plummet. So then I did another raw vegan challenge for 31 days. Now that time I did have more detox symptoms that were a little bit more pronounced, but, and I remember they happened on day 9. So day 9 of a 31 day challenge was 100% raw. I felt like things had bottomed out a little bit for a couple of days. So, I mean, I hope it's okay to say this on your program, but I did have really loose stools, like really loose. And I'm like, what is happening here? Because I wanted to really do this challenge, mm-hmm. because she offered prizes and I wanted to win a prize. So I'm like, I'm gonna do this thing. And I was really interested to see like, what is this? And then was really tired for a few days. So I really like to work out and that kind of thing, but I didn't feel like it. I felt just tired. And I thought, well, I have a choice. I can add a little cooked food back in, or I can kind of see what, like, what's the worst that can happen here. Mm-hmm. So I decided to stay the course, stay raw. I just increased my like drinking fluids, like fresh juices, coconut water, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it did pass. I started to feel better. Probably by day 15, I felt good again. And I didn't really have another, what I'm going to call, bottoming out after that. It was like, okay, once I got to 15, like between 9 and 14 those days, it was a little, it was uncomfortable.
Interesting. It so in like, your... Yeah. Your diet, you were eating the same foods day 9 to day 15 to day 16, 17, 18?
Yeah, so it was whatever was in season. So at that time, Michigan had, we had tons of peaches because we do grow peaches here. Mm-hmm. We had, you know, I had watermelon, melons, that kind of things. I was trying to do things that felt good, and I just love the summer fruit. So whenever I can get my hands on them, I tend to eat a lot of them. Mm-hmm. So cantaloupes, melons, all different types of melons, peaches, nectarines, cherries, those sort of things. So I will say yes. So whatever those summer fruits were, that were in season, I just kept eating them.
So you were consistently eating the same thing during diarrhea, after diarrhea.
It was I don't think I changed anything. I don't think anything really changed. So whatever was in the house, that's what I ate. And like after the diarrhea, nothing. I'll have to say I don't remember specifically if I changed anything. It was not quite a year ago. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember like consciously saying, let me take this out. Let me take this out. It was just what was there. And that's kind of what I like to have in the house is mm-hmm. whatever is in season. And when summertime does come, I'm always really happy because we have all those really cool things that we can, you know, choose from. So I don't remember consciously saying, let's take this out and put this in. It was just whatever was there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So from that point, what led you to sign up for the 21-day New Year meal prep challenge?
Well, after I did those 30 days in July, I decided that a good balance for me was to stay high raw. So really from my breakfast all the way until the dinner meal, that mm-hmm. if I had a dinner meal, not the whole meal is cooked, but at least one element, like potatoes or whatever. And I felt really good with that. So when January came, because we always like to have our New Year's resolutions, and then I saw that you were having that. And I also started collecting more recipes and different ways of eating and trying out to see like, you know, what would it be like to just see how someone else goes about making raw food recipes. So I really wanted to try that. So I joined your program, and I joined the one it's the one that's above the basic, but not the whole. Because you have different tiers. It's the middle tier.
Yeah, the premium level where we have guides, and there's a mastermind. Were any of those resources helpful for you at all?
Yes. I will tell you from those, especially from all of your books, the books that are included, the ebooks. Mm-hmm. I do have one of my favorite now go-to recipes are the nori crunch rolls. Those are like, I love them. When I started eating them, I'm like, okay, this is going to be a staple. So that has been a staple since then. I don't know what it is about it's the combination and you wrap it in nori. I'm like, this is so,
it's so easy.
It is. Yeah. And it's
like our sandwich.
Yeah. It's easier than making the dehydrated wraps, which I've done that too. But if I don't want to go through that, I'm like, just grab a nori and just put all kind of good stuff in there. It's so good. And it's also a good way to get the seaweed in. I think my body likes that from time to time, is to have a seaweed source as well.
So going into the challenge, what were your expectations and how did the experience compare?
So I don't know if I had any expectations. What I know what I wanted, because I listened to your podcast and I'm like, and just kind of listening to you talk about food and the books and kind of your palate. And I'm like, I wanted to try that. I wanted to see, well, what's this palate? What's this about? And I also thought it would be fun just to go into the Facebook group and see what everybody else was doing, like different ways of finding community. Because when you choose even to be high raw, you eat so much differently than most of the world. And so when you can find people to connect to, it's like a godsend. It's like a gift. Also, I thought it would be kind of cool because it seems like in that community, there's a lot of people of color who are trying a raw food diet, which you don't really see. Even if it's not 100% raw, just to be thinking in that mindset, like, let's see what this is like. I really wanted to support that too and be a part of that as well, because I just think it's important. It's important for humanity, but I think it's also important for us because we tend to be more affected by all the things that seem to be the lifestyle diseases that end our lives too early. Really wanted to be a part of that and just see what everybody else is doing, like what everybody else is commenting on. What are they making? What are they saying? So I wanted to be a part of that as well.
Yes. And I totally understand this and I agree, which is why we talk a lot about in the Facebook group, some of the celebrities that are really bringing raw food to the mainstream. Most recently, Snoop Dogg's daughter, which is like, who would have thunk it? Snoop Dogg's daughter, Tiffany Haddish, you know, all these people who have a way bigger platform than I could ever hope to have. You know, just making people aware that this is a possibility, I think, is super important. So I would love to ask you, what were some of the most like impactful takeaways or lessons you learned during the challenge and your experience of this?
One of the things that I'm going to say the most impactful is to learn and to find some other types of go-to foods that maybe feel more comforting that are raw. So many different, this is what I found with a lot of raw food ebooks. Either they're really, really super simple, which I really appreciate, or they're really, really gourmet, which I appreciate, but it takes a lot of time. And it's not always sustainable because when you're going that more gourmet route most of the time or a good part of the time, it takes a lot of hours. It takes a lot of planning, especially if you're going to do anything dehydrated. And so some of my takeaways were, some of those recipes were comforting. They're a little bit heavier, which feel good in the body, especially at the end of the day, where I didn't miss the cooked meal. Like if I did that, I don't feel like, oh man, I wish I'd have had at least partially a cooked meal. I didn't feel that. So it kind of filled that void that there are raw dishes that are not super complicated that you can add in and it feels really good in your body, and some combinations of foods like using the heart of palm noodles and things like that. I would never have thought to do that and didn't really think, oh, that is raw. Like wouldn't have come to be front of mind. So that was really cool to kind of be able to have and see and experience that with raw food. And that's not hard to make. It's really not hard. It's not any harder than when I was making rice and beans. It's just not hard.
Yeah. What about any personal transformations or shifts that occurred for you in terms of your habits, mindset, maybe your wellness practices? Any changes there?
Yeah, so definitely noticed a shift in weight. So I was able to release fat, which I will say, when you are a woman over the age of 45, between 45 and whatever, 65, whatever, there is the menopause middle. I mean, there's a shift in hormones. There's a reason this happens. And it seems like, oh my gosh, no matter what you do, it's hard to get rid of. Incorporating more raw foods, it does slim it down. It does, without you feeling like you're suffering and starving, like I'm gonna be hungry. It doesn't happen like that. And it's kind of this sort of natural release. So that has been really great. I also have experienced, just physically, I know what it feels like to be hydrated, which seems like it's something really small. But until you feel like what it's like to be hydrated from food, from minerals, from the food, it's almost like you don't know, at least for me, I'll speak for myself, don't know what it truly feels like to be hydrated, which changes everything, which changes how you feel in your joints, which changes how you sleep, which changes how sharp your mind is, which changes, I'm a person who exercises, it's easier, like everything physical and otherwise becomes so much easier. Digestion is easier. Like you, when you adopt this way of eating, even if it's just really high raw, it's like you start to unburden the body in ways that you didn't know you were burdened. That's why I stick with it. It's kind of like, this is the way. Like, this is the way, at least for me. I don't know if it's like a Mandalorian reference if you watch that kind of thing, but yeah. But it feels that way. And it's one of those things that right now I feel so good and clear. And like, you know, even months ago, I remember feeling occasionally these sort of stiffness in the joints, not terribly, but you could, you know, a little bit in your fingers, a little bit in your knees, a little bit in your hips. And it's not really there anymore. And the biggest, the only shift I made, the only change I made was in my diet. I didn't exercise differently. I didn't do anything else that was different. That was the difference. So if I was going to like, well, what's the difference between before and after? It was incorporating more raw foods.
Thank you for that. Me. I just want to ask, finally, were there any favorite moments or highlights from the challenge that you'd like to share? I know you wrapped up a while ago too.
Right. I want to say that it was kind of all of a highlight. Because it's you know, it was adding something to what I already have been doing. So I can't think of a specific highlight. I will just say I really value the resource and I refer back to it often. So I like the fact that I have access to it, so it's there when I need it. And I still always check in the Facebook group, and even if I don't respond, I'm still reading a lot of the posts. So, yeah, you know, I appreciate that it's there. And I also love that you add things. You like say, oh, I just added this to that, or there's another file, or there's something else that I decided, like the digestion thing you added. And then I think there was something very recently that you added. So, and I always look through it. So if I know you added, I look through it.
Yeah, I think most recently I added a video on the lasagna recipe since I got feedback that folks wanted to actually see how that was put together. Because, you know, I've been doing this for a while. So I'm like, yeah, you just make the pieces, put them together. It's simple. But it makes sense that, you know, folks want to see it. Because I know with a cooked lasagna, it feels and seems overwhelming. And for me personally, like, I can share, I have never made a cooked lasagna because I'm like, it just seems like too much, right? But then when I was managing the 10 million Black Vegan Women community, that was one of our staple dishes. Tracy McCorder's recipe in her book, Ageless Vegan, I think it's from. And we had demos on it, and just watching them make it, you know, the guest instructors that we had, eventually, after a while, you keep seeing it and you're like, you know what? I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. And so hopefully with this video, with the raw one, to me, it's a lot simpler, but it's not that hard for any of the things because you don't have to put stuff in the oven and, you know, cook this, da da da. You're just putting stuff in a food processor and just piling it on top of each other. I mean, raw foods can't get simpler, honestly. Like, it can't get simpler. It can't get quicker. It's healthy fast food as far as I'm concerned.
And I think it's a learning curve too. I think in our minds we think, oh, that's really going to be hard, or that it's going to have too many steps. But it really isn't more steps for many things than if you were to cook something, than if you were to make a dish like a lasagna or a really fancy macaroni and cheese. There's a lot of steps in that. But I think people sometimes think, oh, this is a lot. But it isn't really. It's more like a mental block, but also a learning curve. That's kind of what I've
exactly
discovered.
Which is why in bold lines at the top of the page, when folks go to the registration page, it says you can't go raw unless you get in the kitchen and make the stuff, you know? And you won't really overcome that mental block until you make it. Because especially too, right now, we're in a situation where there are not that many raw food restaurants. There's way less now than before the pandemic. And before the pandemic, there weren't that many, to be honest. So, you know, we have to just get in our kitchen and play around and experiment. And what I noticed too with you and some of the others who, or actually one other person who gave a testimonial, and her video is on the sign-up page. Both of you have experience with raw foods before. So this was kind of like just something else to try something new, how someone else is doing it. For folks who have never tried before, you know, there's a lot of fear and anticipation around making raw foods. From your perspective, like, what would you say to those people who have a lot of fear that they're too busy, they don't have the time, they want the results, but they're concerned it's not going to taste good, they're concerned they're going to waste their money? Like, what do you have to say to folks like that?
And again, I'm going to say this is another mindset, but you can make it as simple as you want. One of the things that I had to discover and then sort of get over was, if I wanted to, I can make a meal out of oranges. I can make a meal out of bananas, it can be super simple. I can have greens with some fruit and it not have to be a salad. I can just have it there. I can, you know, and maybe on the side have avocado and lemon or something. But I can make it really, I can make it as easy or as complicated as I want to. And it all works. So first, if you want, start really simple. Start with having fruit for breakfast. Maybe starting with one meal a day. So maybe you start with fruit for breakfast. Maybe you once that sort of is part of your life, then maybe pick the next meal, whether it's going to be lunch or dinner, and think about some go-to things. You can even do fruit and greens. You can do a green smoothie. You can do You can have just like a platter of fruits and vegetables, just cut stuff that you like. Maybe have a dip and just have a platter. Make it as simple as you can until you're ready to take that next step and start with maybe one recipe that looks interesting. I found that sometimes many videos on YouTube could be really helpful. It's just to kind of watch somebody do it and then follow it. But maybe you only start with that one recipe and you add it one day, and everything else can be as simple as you like it. You even had a book that you added. I think it was the Simple Meals or something. It was something that you just added there. I mean, well, those things are really easy. You know, you just throw stuff together and it tastes really good. You know, three or four ingredients. To look for things that are easy and go simple first before you start venturing off into things that might be more complicated.
Yes. Yeah. That book was inspired for folks who don't have or don't want to purchase a dehydrator. I didn't have a dehydrator for a very long time. And it's totally fine. I mean, you actually eat healthier meals, you know, when you keep the water in. But the dehydrator is really great for folks who live in places that get really cold, have winter, you know, and you want something warm. I don't know if you've tried the stuffed bell pepper recipe, but that one, we make it, we put it in the dehydrator, and I have a top load one. So it was, oh my gosh. Like, honestly, I loved my time raw without the dehydrator, but with the dehydrator, I'm impressed with myself. I'm like, girl, look at you. With the, you know, it's juicy, it's tasty, you know, and I'm like, all the nutrients are still in there, you know? And you still have that warmth that, you know, I hear a lot of people really complain, like, I cannot do raw in the winter. I feel like that may be the solution, and you don't have to keep it in there for 12 whatever hours, because who has time for that? You
know? Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's kind of like learning anything new. Even if you're going from like a standard American diet just into a vegan diet, it's a learning curve, and you have to kind of play around a little bit, but start easy. Like, find the things that are really simple, and then start to go off into things that may be more complicated.
Awesome. Thank you. You're such a beautiful, wonderful mentor in the raw space, because you've already been on this journey, have tried all these things, have experienced the result for yourself when it comes to menopausal symptoms. I would love to hear more about your program and how you're helping folks go through perimenopause and menopause and be more comfortable in their body.
I'm actually at the stage where I'm taking beta clients. So this, they would come in with in the program, and it would be at the lowest price, because this is the first time I've kind of really am creating a signature program. Everything else has been really general. And so it's really about looking at three areas of life when it comes to your body and all the changes that happen in perimenopause and then in menopause. It's kind of like, I've heard it called, and I really believe it's true, it's like the opposite of puberty. If you remember when you're going through puberty, there's stuff that happens in your body, you're like, what the heck is this? I mean, there's certain things that are textbook, and there's other stuff, it's like, they didn't tell me about that. Nobody told me about that. And it's just that time where, I don't know, it's almost like, and I heard Dr. Toomey Johnson say this, and it just resonated with me. She said, it's kind of that time in your life where you're done, your body and your mind or your nervous system are sort of done putting up with stuff that's inferior. So whether it's inferior food, inferior movement, inferior practices, inferior thoughts, that our bodies and our minds and our nervous systems, when we come into this sort of goddess period of our lives, which are, you know, from perimenopause until the rest of our lives, where the body's like, yeah, I'm not putting up with that anymore. And then it just starts screaming at you. It screams at you through inflammation. It screams at you through hot flashes. It screams at you through just a lot of different things, and your nervous system, your mood swings, your brain fog, your emotions, where kind of you can either say, well, this is what happens, I'm old now, and this is the way it's going to be, or you can decide, hey, take these as signals to say it's time to up level, because this is an up leveling. This is not, ooh, you're old now. No, this is an up-leveling. And so we're going to stop putting these things and taking these things into our bodies, into our minds, into our energy spaces that don't serve us. Because if not, the body starts to scream at you, saying, hey, yeah, we're done with this. And so I look at areas of food, movement, and mindset. Food, movement, and mindset. And food is the easiest place to go, I think, because it's what everybody thinks about first. And, you know, we kind of look at what it is that we're eating, what are we putting into the body, and then making those small sustainable shifts. So this isn't necessarily like, do you have to be vegan? No, you don't. But we're going to start to look at how these foods impact us and make the decision, is this something that I want to continue on with? Or is it, do I really want to up level? And then looking at movement, because we have to move our bodies, not just for our bone and our muscle strength, but also movement helps to make it so that we more efficiently move from a space of fight or flight, the sympathetic response, into a parasympathetic response. Mm-hmm. And when we are in perimenopause and beyond, our bodies are super sensitive to cortisol. So that stress hormone, we're just really, really, we don't have other hormones in abundance in check there to check cortisol. It's just, we just don't have it. So we have to make sure that we're doing practices that help us move into that, can more efficiently move into rest and digest. And then also the mindset stuff. Because anytime you're making a change in behavior, it's mindset. And how do we navigate that? So it's like those three targets, and it's an 8-week program, and we just start to, it's individual. So this is like one-on-one, it's not a group. I'm not gonna do a group this first time around. Individual, so that like she and I, and really more she, I'm just here as the guide, to can start to craft a practice, a life practice that works for her, so that she does feel her most vibrant, or she's on her way to that. And yes, there will be physical changes, hopefully, you know, a release in fat, you know, more vibrant skin, less, you know, achy, stiff joints, but also more than just sort of our, that physical muscle body, but also what, how are you feeling on the inside? And because this, you know, this is this, the time in our lives where we're supposed to really ascend to be, we're our most powerful. We're done raising babies. We're done doing that. This is the time we're super women. But we can't do that if we feel like garbage. So.
Yes. I love all the points that you made. And the program is called Cherish the Changeover, right?
Yes.
How cute. I love that. Because everyone talks about it as like the worst time of your life. Oh my gosh. My mom, you know, my mom owned a beauty salon, and I was basically raised in the salon. And she always talks about how, you know, her, some of her customers, when they would be going through menopause, they're just throwing their arms. They're so uncomfortable that she would get hit, you know, you know, it, because you're going through these hormonal changes. It affects how you think, feel, and behave, because the brain is also being affected by these hormonal changes. And when you get the hormones in balance with the nutrition and everything else you mentioned, the exercise, the mindset, things can start to regulate so you could come back to your normal, better self.
Yeah. Yeah, normal and even better than whatever, maybe even beyond your normal. Mm-hmm. You're like really taking your position of, you know, this is our time. We don't have to, we're not raising kids. We're not having, you know, some people are moving in toward retirement and like, what's that next dream? Like whatever that is for her. And then, but we have to kind of be ready, and you can't be ready if you're sick and don't feel good.
Yeah. I would love to ask you too, since you have personal experience with this and you're helping folks with this. Is there something that you've been seeing like in the wellness industry in particular that you feel like you really want to get out there and kind of like clarify for people? Like people are just not getting the support that they need, that you want to share like your big message?
I think, and I've had this conversation with a couple of girlfriends, and there's this debate, like, should I go on HRT or not? This isn't even about that. Whether you choose to or not, and that's between you and your healthcare I don't know where that came from, healthcare provider. It's not a Band-Aid for the other stuff. It can't fix everything. And this is like doing a deeper dive into how do you want to feel? Who do you want to be? How do you want, you know, what do you want to put out there in the world as you move forward? Because it's not like, oh, now you're old and you can go in the back and not be seen anymore. Like, we need to get out of that mindset. Like, that's ridiculous. This whole, well, you're older now and nobody cares because youth is king, but that's not true. And to stop buying into that narrative, and also to decide for yourself, this doesn't have to be that way, but some changes for most of us need to be made so that we can come kind of realize the health and vitality that we want past menopause, or past, you know, into menopause, for the rest of your life.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, because HRT is a hot topic right now. Some folks are saying it puts you at risk for cancer. My understanding is it depends on where the hormone is coming from, like if it's synthetic, if it's, you know, coming from a horse or something like that. But right. there's a lot to unpack there. And I know when folks are in that fork in the road, they're dealing with this issue, and they're looking for support, it's really good to know that you have walked this journey and have found the solution for yourself with raw foods as a core part of that, in terms of your healing and hormone balancing. So for folks who are interested in learning more and joining your program, you can let folks know the best way to get in. I'll make sure that there's a link below this video or in the show notes to the podcast, but you can let folks know about that.
So one thing that you can do, like, yeah, Samantha has the link there, because I'm taking, it's like join the wait list. But you can also email me at Sybil, it's Sybil, at asyouareyoga.com. And just in the subject line, put changeover. And then I can get that information to you, and we can get on a Zoom call. I want to make sure that for both of us that we're good fit, and then we can discuss on how to move forward.
Awesome. And where can folks connect with you on social media? You want to share those handles as well?
Sure. I'm at on Instagram. I'm pretty active there. I'm at Yoga and Yum with Sybil, one word. And Sybil's with an S, not a C, only one L. And on Facebook, I have a Facebook group. It's called As You Are Yoga and Yum. So you can look that up and ask to join. I let everybody in. I have never, like, it's free. Those are the two places that you can find me.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Cool. And do you have any upcoming events or launches, any workshops, webinars that we should be
known about? Yeah, so I do. I'm having some local things. So if you're in the state of Michigan, I have two in-person things that are coming up. One is in April. I'm having a mother-daughter retreat. It's called Mother Earth, Daughter Sky. And you can find more about that on my website, which is asyouareyoga.com. And then in November, I'm having it's our second annual Ultimate One Day Women's Retreat. And we are working on that now. We just started really talking about that. That's going to be on November 2nd. So if you live in like the surrounding states, like Illinois or Ohio, you know, something that borders that, I believe, especially the one in November, because it's an all day retreat, it's worth the drive down. Yes. That, and like I said, I'm taking the beta clients for Cherish the Changeover. So,
yeah, that's so fun. That's awesome. How cute, mother and daughter time. I love that. Yes. That's so precious.
Yes, we're very excited. Yes, we're going to have movement. It'll be like creative dance and kind of cool connecting games, like mindful games. And we're going to have connection to nature outside. And then we'll have an art project. A really amazing art teacher is coming in to do art that with an earth-based theme. So, and snacks. There'll always be snacks.
Cool. Is there like an age range for the children?
There is. The children should be between the ages of 5 and 12.
Okay.
Yeah, 5
How precious. I love that. Yes. That's so much fun. That's so cool. So thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Sybil, for sharing your story and for just being available for folks. I know that perimenopause and menopause is a huge, huge thing that folks need support on. And I think not enough people know what you've experienced, how much like fresh fruits and vegetables can really alleviate some of those hormonal symptoms. For folks who are interested, of course, in Sybil's program and her connecting with her on social media, all that information will be in the show notes and the description to this video, wherever you are watching or listening to this. Also, if you're interested in the 21-day New Year Meal Prep Challenge, we will open up at the end of 2024 for 2025. We have closed the program for 2024, but if you're interested in that, just keep an eye out for that, and you can always check back to rawfoodmealplanner.com to join when it becomes available. And thank y'all for joining and for spending this time with us. I wish you all the best on your health and wellness journey. You can see us out here. We are living our best lives, and that is because God has already provided the abundance and nourishment for us with fruits and vegetables. And so there's a way to enjoy it so that you don't feel like you are sacrificing. You can feel comfortable in your body, and hopefully today was just the inspiration you needed to take the next step. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you.